Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Father's Day, by the way, to all the fathers out there. The Illinois Bell Telephone Company, when there was such a thing, reported many, many years ago that though there was still a huge gap, the number of phone calls on Father's Day was slowly catching up to the number of calls on Mother's Day. They reported that even though there weren't as many calls on Father's Day as there were on Mother's Day, still the workload was about the same. The reason is a far greater number of the calls on Father's Day require extra billing labor because they are collect calls. Isn't it good that we don't have to worry about that sort of thing on this Father's Day when our Heavenly Father Himself has made the call to us? Our Heavenly Father gives us a call every time we open the Bible and we read there His love letter to us. Now today we read in verse 7 of the Old Testament lesson out of Exodus 19 that Moses summoned the elders of the people. Read this with me. Set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. Moses' mouth was God the Father's chosen voice to the people of God's own choosing. God chose the Israelites, and as they said in this reading, we will do everything the Lord has said. Well, did they? Of course, we know that they didn't. They were unfaithful. As the story unfolds, and they broke the covenant that God had made with them. In verse 5, God said, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, these words have a familiar ring to us, don't they? In the past few weeks, we've heard those same words come to us speaking of the people of God in Christ out of the book of 1 Peter. There in 1 Peter it says, but you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. The status of being the treasured possession went from the Israelites to the followers of Christ. That happened as the unfaithfulness of the Israelites became clear. Reading the Old Testament stories and the prophets, we hear a tale of this people breaking their word and breaking God's heart. We see in what they do a reflection of what the entire world, of what we all have done with God. We all have turned our backs on Him. We all have treated Him with disdain and disrespect. We all, in our rebellion, reveal that sin is pervasive and chronic in each and every person. Wronging God, ignoring God, disrespecting God, all this incurs a penalty. When the Creator is despised by the created, there truly is trouble in River City. There's punishment that comes with such rebellion. That punishment is death. A death that leads to separation from God's holy presence. We know that God is holy. And that's what He wanted for His people. For them to be a holy nation. A nation that would live in harmony with Him and thereby show the world how to live with God. Only holiness, perfection, can be in the presence of God. The Israelites' sin and rebellion led to the kingdom of heaven, which is the presence of God. Their rebellion led to that promise of the kingdom being removed from them. Luther has said, if it was removed from them, and he was speaking to the Germans, if you despise God's word, it can be removed from you as well. The Israelites could not have that promise. The Israelites could not have that promise if they would not keep God's word. And when Jesus came, he came proclaiming God's word to them, and still we would not hear. We, the Israelites, would not hear. And what they would not hear is what Jesus told his disciples today. Jesus said to go and preach that in his coming, the kingdom of heaven now comes as a gift to the Jews first, and then to the world. It comes in the person of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of any other man or by any nation. The coming of the kingdom of heaven does not depend on the keeping of the old law by us. It never could have, because we, the nation of Israel, as the race chosen to represent all races, we could not do it. But in Jesus' coming, the grace of God the Father is revealed. And that is what ushers in the coming of his kingdom. It comes through the grace of the Father, sending his Son Jesus Christ to fulfill the demands of the whole law. That news of God's mercy and grace is what we have been given by Jesus Christ. To tell the world that in him the kingdom of heaven is near. According to verse 7 of the gospel lesson today, the kingdom of heaven has come to us. We don't have to go and get it, or earn it, or bribe God or cajole him into it. We don't have to trick him, appease him, or placate him. There is no conniving or convincing that is up to us to do in order to get God to let us have heaven. No. He has come to us in Jesus, and that alone has brought heaven near to us. There's a story from the Civil War about a Quaker family, and their name was Smythe. And against the father's wishes, the son ran off and enlisted in the army. The father didn't hear from his son for almost 2 years. Then word came that the boy had been wounded in battle. The father left the farm and traveled to where the troops were. He made his way to the commander and asked about his son. The commander said that there had been heavy action earlier that day, and that many had fallen wounded and still lay in the trenches and on the fields. It was late at night, so the father lit a lantern and walked to the scene of the battle. As he arrived, he was filled with despair when he saw by the dim light of his lamp the number of wounded and dying. The father began calling loudly, "Jonathan Smythe, thy father seeketh after thee." He would walk a little further and then stop and cry again, "Jonathan Smythe, thy father seeketh after thee." Here and there among the wounded, he would hear a groan. A young soldier might often would say, "I wish that were my father." Mr. Smythe continued his search, calling for his son for several hours. Finally, he heard a faint voice, "Father, I'm over here." And then the wounded boy said, "I knew you would come." A father gives his heart to his children. That's true fatherhood. It has nothing to do with success or money, anything like that. What makes a man a father is that he gives his children his heart. What God, our heavenly Father, has done for us in sending his Son is to demonstrate that same heart seeking that the father of Jonathan Smythe did. Jonathan's father wanted him home again, in spite of the boy's rebellion. And so the father went. The father went in search of him. He went with the idea that he, the father himself, would bring the son home. So also, when God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, he did that with the idea that he was seeking us out to give us the kingdom of God. We were given the promise through Jesus Christ that the kingdom of God is for us. Jesus has come to bring us to the kingdom and to give us healing and new life, to grant us freedom from Satan and give us our needed restoration to God, our Heavenly Father. The Spanish have a folktale about a father and a son who became estranged. The son left home, and the father later set out to find him. Now, I may have told you this story before, but it's really good and it applies here. He searched for his son for months, had no success. Finally, in desperation, the father went to the newspaper for help. His ad simply read this: "Dear Paco, my son, I love you. All is forgiven. Meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday, your father." According to the folktale, when the father arrived at the newspaper office that Saturday morning, 800 young men named Paco showed up. They were looking for forgiveness and love from their estranged fathers. The world is filled with people who desperately long for reconciliation with their fathers, with each other, and mostly with God, our Heavenly Father. As St. Paul said in Romans 5:8 today, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus came near. Jesus accomplished our needed reconciliation with the Father. Jesus did the dying in our place. He went to the cross. That was the penalty for all sin and all the rebellion of all the nations of this world against God. Our sin needed payment because, like the Israelites, we say we'll obey God. But also like them, we don't. St. Paul also said in verses 9 and 10, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" We need the reconciliation and the perfect justification that comes only through the shed blood of Jesus from the cross. We need the reconciliation won for us when Jesus came and took our sins to the cross and nailed them there, and in so doing has brought the kingdom of heaven near to each of us. We need the new life that we have here and now by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to us in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is God the Father's amen to his Son's cry of victory on the cross: "It is finished." Our punishment for sin is completely over. completely satisfied. And our lame attempts to earn heaven on our own are wrapped up and concluded in the same cry, "It is finished." Instead of our working to make God give us heaven, we receive the words of Jesus given to us freely. And like God gave Moses to do, we set the words, "The kingdom of heaven is near," before the world, before all the hurting ones around us. All those like those Pacos who long to know what you know, that God has sought you and called out to you among the wounded in the battlefield of life. And in Jesus Christ, He has accomplished the reconciliation with you and brought you to His heavenly home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord,